Long before the costumes and candy that are now inseparable from Halloween, this was a time of the year when people in a number of cultures thought a lot about death. It still is. That's where traditions like Mexico's Day of the Dead come from, not to mention All Souls Day, which is celebrated in many parts of the Christian world. Photographer and author Paul Cudenares has documented the traditions in his latest book called Memento Mori, The Dead Among Us. It's filled with photos of rooms filled with human skulls and bones. And Paul, I've heard of the catacombs in Rome and Paris, actually visited one in Naples, but you found this all over the globe. What is the this we're talking about? What are these places?
Well, what this is a human compulsion to keep the dead literally among us, as in the subtitle of the book, to not push them away and kind of ghettoize them in a cemetery the way we do now in Western culture. You know, I look at death not as a biological condition, but as a boundary between two potential social groups, the living and the dead. And that if you look at death as a boundary, it becomes culturally relative. It can exist in different places. And we've created it as this kind of, like, in Western culture now, as a Siegfried line, which you don't cross. And we don't realize how idiosyncratic and weird that is cross-culturally and historically, because it's actually traditionally it's been much more common to keep the dead around, even in physical form with the bones or the mummies, and to interact with those people, not cast them aside, but to keep them as members of the social group or even the family.
And is that boundary between life and an unknown what happens after life, is that what it's like to go into these places? Is that what you experience?
Well, I've traveled to over 70 countries, and I've documented real instances where people have kept the bones and the mummies and so forth and the remains of the dead, or decorated them and kept them around to be preserved and to be viewed and to be interacted with. So we're talking about a vast phenomenon. And to answer your question, coming from a Western culture where I am very used to the idea that crossing that border is really taboo. At first, it is a little unsettling, and there's a sense that, you know, are we doing something a little sinister by peering beyond the veil? But you quickly realize that this not only is normal, it's actually, how do I say it? It's actually kind of titillating and exhilarating to cross that border and to realize that for centuries, you know, it's like time kind of stood still. And especially, as you say, on this day of the year, especially when the dead were venerated, when people would visit the dead and they would interact with them. And I would look into the eye sockets of those who had preceded me, who were my relatives. And it's like I'm standing in the present. I'm standing among the past. But at the same time, I'm contemplating my own future.
So I'm looking at one picture here taken in San Martino della Battaglia, Italy. It looks like an old, austere library, beautifully crafted wood shelves, but those shelves are lined with skulls. Tell me about going to this place.
Well, that is a battle ossuary. And in the 19th century in Italy, the great days in Western culture of building the charnel houses and keeping the dead around us, it's really before the 19th century. But there was a phenomenon in the 19th century that occurred, especially in northern Italy during the Italian battles for independence, when they would dig up all the dead soldiers and place their bones inside of old churches to create, you know, sacred liminal spaces to thank those soldiers who had died for the sacrifice they had made. And there are actually several of these around northern Italy. There's San Martin, which you mentioned. There are a couple others. There's one at Custoza and Solferino. Solferino was the bloodiest battle of all. It's the one that caused the Red Cross to be founded. And all these churches still exist. And you can walk into these churches and you can pay homage to these dead soldiers while you're saying Mass.
Aren't these sacred spaces for the locals? And, you know, I mean, isn't it hard to kind of go in and just stare? I mean, you said it was kind of titillating. I mean, you went to a place in the Philippines and you just go to this town where there's a charnel house and ask for a tour?
Well, yeah, for the most part, I do have authentically a PhD in art history. I have 3 books out about this subject matter, so it's not that hard for me to get access, because usually if I write a couple well-placed letters, someone in, especially in Europe, in the diocese office will be like, okay, this guy's for real and he has a reason to come here and study this. But it depends on the culture. A lot of these places are still open to the public. It's just that we've let them fall through the cracks of history due to our own anxiety with death. But at the same time, a lot of these places are not, and access can be very difficult. You mentioned a charnel house, which is actually a charnel cave in the Philippines called the Aptos Cave. Nearby in central Luzon, there's another site, which I'm the first outsider to local culture who was ever allowed to go to this other cave. There's a photo in the book of a couple of mummies. And when the Spanish came over, people in central Luzon used to mummify their relatives, and they'd keep them around after death to consult with them, to get advice with them and so forth. And the Spanish said, nope, you're not doing this anymore. You got to cut out the mummification of these people. Well, they never actually stopped. They continued doing it in secret. And there's one cave in particular that they're still using, and there are still mummies in that cave. So in some cases, access is very, very difficult, and I've been very lucky to see some of these places. In other places, you mentioned the Paris catacombs. I mean, that's a tourist attraction. Anyone pays a few euros and they go in.
Some of the charnel houses are new. You went to Rwanda, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Rwanda, of course, suffered a terrible genocide, and they have made the decision, which you'd never do this in a Western country. There are a couple in the later 20th century. There are a couple new ossuaries and new collections of bones that are designed specifically to be a memorial, but also a warning and a remembrance about genocide. Several in Rwanda, also in Cambodia, so let's not forget them. Those are also in my book. And in Rwanda, terrible, terrible instances of people who had turned to the church for protection during the genocide and tried to hide in the church, and the church had betrayed them. And so all these people who were massacred in the church later, all their bones were exhumed, and the churches were filled with not only their bones, but also their clothing. And there are these in one of the churches, the pews of the church itself are just littered with the clothing of the people who died in that church. And in some ways, that those pews filled with clothing are an even more poignant gesture to me than seeing the bones.
Paul Kutinaris, the author of Memento Mori, The Dead Among Us. We've got a gallery of his pictures at PRI.org. Paul, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much.